it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harris. I'm very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll play my conversation with Elias Shore Parks. He and I got a chance to sit down earlier today. He couldn't do it live, so we recorded it earlier. And he said this about the Chiefs. He thinks the aura is on the line.
Just the reality of where the Chiefs are at. They are obviously one of the best dynasties in NFL history. I think that Andy and Patrick Mahomes still have a very strong argument for being the top quarterback head coach duo in the league. But I think Chiefs fans also need to be honest about what the product on the field has looked like for the past year. If the Chiefs, after last year where they did not play well overall, I think you would probably agree with that. A lot of one-score games, a lot of games that, you know, you're probably not going to win consistently. And they did it, and credit to them for that. But they have not looked like a dominant team for a long time. In the biggest game they played last year, they got absolutely embarrassed. They went to Brazil last week and lost to a Chargers team that consistently loses big games. And if they lose the home opener in a chance to even up their record as opposed to going 0-2, I don't think the Chiefs have that mystique anymore. I'd probably be more afraid to go play Buffalo. I might be more afraid to go play Baltimore, and that hasn't been the case for a really long time. So I really think this Sunday is about seeing if the Chiefs are still the Chiefs or if they're just a team with a good quarterback and head coach and a bad roster.
That is Elias Shore Parks, who covers the Eagles for WIP out in Philadelphia. We'll play that conversation in full coming up in about 15 minutes or so. I've got a would you rather question for you guys. Rob, hit the music. Tomorrow, you could add one of these two players to your Kansas City Chiefs. On the offensive side of the ball, you could give them Saquon Barkley. On the defensive side of the ball, you could give them Jalen Carter. Now, Rob, I'll go first because I know you are not going to pick Saquon Barkley. I have been screaming this from the mountaintop all week, and I will continue to say it. One of the big problems with the Chiefs offense is they cannot run the football. They would be forced to run the ball if they had the best running back in the National Football League. Give me Saquon Barkley. I hear you guys tell me all offseason about the importance of protecting number 15 and how you got to keep them upright. Well, one of the best ways to keep them upright is to turn around and hand it to Saquon Barkley and let Saquon go to work. He ran for 2,000 yards last season. He had one of the best running back seasons that we have ever seen a running back have. The Chiefs called 11 run plays on Friday. They didn't run the ball in the Super Bowl. Their offense would be drastically different if they had Saquon Barkley. That's who I'm taking. I'm taking the running back. I know you're going to take Jalen Carter.
I mean, you're 100% correct. I'm taking Jalen Carter. And there's a couple different reasons for why. First, this thing me and you just disagree on, and that's fine. I'm hoping it's only the theme of this week, and the theme disappears on Sunday. You are way more worried about the offense than I am. They have Patrick Mahomes. They have Andy Reid. I think they'll get it figured out. They have new pieces. It might take a little bit to mesh, gel, whatever word you want to use. I think they'll figure it out. I am way more concerned about the defense. They brought basically everyone back, and their pass rush was non-existent. It's expensive and non-existent. Chris Jones was invisible outside of the play. He made the bonehead mental error and cost them the game by having Justin Herbert get around the edge. So that's A, why I'm taking Jalen Carter. Here's B, and I know you love stats, so I pulled some Saquon Barkley stats because everyone's going to point to last year's 2,000 yards, and it's incredible. Kudos to him. Do you know how many yards per season he averages for his NFL career?
4.6.
It's 80 a game.
Oh, I thought you said yards per carry. My bad. I apologize.
You're right. It is 4.6. It's 80 a game. 80 a game, just okay. It's not great. Also, the two times in his NFL career that he's rushed for 1,000 yards. You know how people love 1,000 yards? Nice, clean number. Do you know that he had 300 carries those seasons? Do you know where he's never getting 300 carries? It does not matter the situation at quarterback. Andy Reid would have to be removed forcibly from the stadium to have a 300 rush running back on his roster. 300 rushes are the way he gets to 1,000 yards in his NFL career. That's never happening here. And last year was incredible, but over the totality of his career, he's an 80-yard-a-game guy, which is great, but it is not drop everything. Can you believe you have Saquon? Also, me and you always love to quote Terez. There's only so many hits on running back's body. You know when we start talking about that? When you're 28, 29, 30. Saquon Barkley is 28 years old at running back. So yes, give me Jalen Carter.
I just want to point out that you've been telling me that same quote for Derrick Henry now for four consecutive seasons. And Derrick Henry
one day I will be correct.
100%. You know what? If you keep picking against Kansas in the Big 12, eventually Baylor will win the league for sure. There is no question about that. Text line 913-586-7965. You guys let me know tomorrow if you could add Saquon Barkley or Jalen Carter on the team. Which one of those guys would you add to the roster? I want to read this tweet to you guys really quickly. Someone sent in a message that said, "CDOT, we haven't seen a whole lot of healthy Hollywood Brown. I'm not sure why you've given up on him so easy." Let me at least clarify my stance on Hollywood a little bit. I was, I think, surprised at how lack of explosive he was in the offense. For you to have 9 catches for 50 yards before the fourth down, essentially a Hail Mary. It wasn't a Hail Mary in a traditional sense, but it's fourth down. You've decided to go for it. You got to throw it up in some capacity. If it falls incomplete, it falls incomplete. But that wasn't a scripted play. That was just Pat going out and making a move. I was just really surprised at how close to the line of scrimmage and how safe and conservative they had to be with Hollywood. That's just not really what I was expecting for him. The other point that I would make is I think Hollywood is really fine in the original role that they had him. Now, some of this is just the injuries, and now you got the most targets of anybody in the league. What they're asking now is they're asking Jerod Dyson about cleanup on this team. That's not where Jerod Dyson is used. He's your fourth outfielder. He's your Sunday starter, hit 7th, 8th in the lineup, 9th, get on base, speed guy. That's what I think Jerod Dyson was, and he was great in that role. I am a little bit worried that over the next month or so, and maybe even, I guess, less than that because of Xavier Worthy will play for you that he actually practiced today. I don't think that means that he's going to play on Sunday, but I do think that's optimistic that he is going to play in the game against the Giants. A lot of it is just my fear and worry that now they're asking Hollywood to be a number one receiver in the league, and that's just not what he is now at this stage. He can be a capable 3 or 4 for you, in which teams aren't game planning for him, can do some different things, but if they're going to have him and ask him to do a role that I just don't think he's really suited for the next couple of weeks, I just don't think that equals really good things for the offense. Let's talk about Xavier Worthy. Now, you never want your player to be injured. But this injury, it's kind of best case scenario. You were real worried whenever Xavier Worthy went down. When he put that towel over his head, a lot of possible things could have happened. I mean, he could have broken his collarbone and missed a substantial amount of time for the Chiefs. The fact that we're talking about a dislocated shoulder and him just missing one game. Now, it's a very, very important game that you could absolutely use him. But if we're talking about him coming back in 4 or 5 days from now and being able to play on Sunday Night Football next week against the Giants, I would say for the most part, crisis averted. It's a football team. You're going to have to deal with bumps and bruises. You're going to have to deal with injuries. You're going to have to deal with things that pop up throughout the course of an NFL season. But if you were telling me that that's all we're talking about one missed game and it's going to be a pain management thing for Xavier Worthy, I would say that you dodged a bullet because there's going to be a lot of teams and players that have a very similar injury, very similar fall, and they're going to have far worse outcomes than what the Chiefs got with their number 1/number 2 wide receiver. We're going to step aside here. Coming back on the other side, we're going to be joined by Elias Shore Parks. He covers the Eagles for 94 WIP out in Philadelphia. He's their insider. He thinks the Chiefs are back up against the wall. He thinks that the aura could be slipping away from the Chiefs. We'll play for you what he had to say. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday, getting you ready for Chiefs and Eagles. Earlier today, we got a chance to be joined by Elias Shore Parks. He covers the Philadelphia Eagles. He is their Eagles insider for 94WIP in Philadelphia. He tweeted that Sunday could kill the Chiefs' aura. I asked him to explain what he meant.
Well, thanks for having me on. Excited as always to talk to you. Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the reality of where the Chiefs are at. They are obviously one of the best dynasties in NFL history. I think that Andy and Patrick Mahomes still have a very strong argument for being the top quarterback head coach duo in the league. But I think Chiefs fans also need to be honest about what the product on the field has looked like for the past year. If the Chiefs, you know, after last year where they did not play well overall, I think you would probably agree with that. A lot of one-win, one-score games, a lot of games that, you know, you're probably not going to win consistently. And they did it, and credit to them for that. But they have not looked like a dominant team for a long time. In the biggest game they played last year, they got absolutely embarrassed. They went to Brazil last week and lost to a Chargers team that consistently loses big games. And if they lose the home opener in a chance to even up their record as opposed to going 0-2, I don't think the Chiefs have that mystique anymore. I'd probably be more afraid to go play Buffalo. I might be more afraid to go play Baltimore, and that hasn't been the case for a really long time. So I really think this Sunday is about seeing if the Chiefs are still the Chiefs or if they're just a team with a good quarterback and head coach and a bad roster.
Last year, you were pretty emphatic that the Eagles had the better roster and that the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl comfortably. I don't think either of us saw the Super Bowl playing out the way that it did, but you were pretty emphatic that the Eagles were the better team. These teams are largely the same. Do you feel that way heading into this matchup? Do you see a place in where Kansas City has the advantage outside of being home in this game against Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think, look, the Chiefs have, in my opinion, five great players. They have Trent McDuffie, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, I think Travis Kelce Silver. Oh, Creed Humphrey's the fifth. Creed Humphrey, I would say, is the fifth great player on the roster. And that can be enough to keep them competitive. But if you look at the two teams, the Eagles have far and away the best roster. Like, they have so much more talent than the Chiefs do. I mean, Mahomes would probably kill to play for the Eagles as opposed to dealing with the players he has on the Kansas City roster. So I think there's still a big gap in terms of talent. Now, are there areas where the Chiefs could take advantage of the Eagles? I think the Eagles' interior offensive line right now, because they're dealing with an injury to Landon Dickerson, could be somewhat susceptible. I think Chris Jones, as you well know, is very capable of taking over a game. George Karloftis, also obviously a great player, and I think both of them on the line combined could give the Eagles some problems. But outside of that, no, I mean, the Chiefs' receivers aren't that great. Their secondary is not that great. The Eagles have outstanding skill players. So I think the Chiefs really just have to hope that Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid have an outstanding game plan and that Patrick Mahomes can be Patrick Mahomes.
Right now, we're talking to Elias Shore Parks, breaking down the Chiefs and Eagle matchup. He covers the Eagles for WIP out in Philadelphia. A lot of controversy centered around Jalen Carter. I think the result is fair. I understand the argument that being ejected is not a suspension, but he didn't play in week one and they took a game check away from him. That seems like a fair penalty to me. Do you think justice was served, so to speak, with him being able to play in week two?
I think you can make an argument justice was served, but I think that the punishment in some ways really didn't fit the crime. I think if I'm the Eagles, I would, you know, maybe sit him for this game. I would maybe sit him for a half. I think for the Eagles, this is a great chance to really send a message early on to this team that discipline is crucial, and taking and making sure your emotions are kept in check is crucial. The Eagles have a roster that's good enough to beat any team in the NFL on any given Sunday. The way they'll lose is by making mistakes and letting their emotions get the best of them. So for the Eagles, I think that, you know, I would maybe go further with the actions towards Jalen Carter. In terms of the NFL, I think they dropped the ball a little bit too. Like, they talked a big game all offseason about how on-the-field stuff will be taken seriously, and they're going to try to get this stuff out of the game. And then they essentially used a technicality to you know, make him not play against Kansas City. I get a chance to be around Jalen Carter as someone that covers the team. He's been, from my experiences, a great guy here in Philadelphia. I think he has an outstanding future ahead of him. But in terms of this incident, it did feel like he probably got off a little easy.
Another story from week one for the Eagles is the lack of A.J. Brown. He only got one target, one catch in the game. What was the conversation around A.J. Brown this week? Do you expect them to try to go to him early and often to get him involved in the offense on Sunday?
Yeah, I think they will. You know, whenever you have the amount of talent the Eagles have on offense, if one player isn't getting the ball, it's going to be a big story. I remember in 2022, Devontae Smith didn't have a single catch against Detroit in week one, and he had a monster game in game two. So this is something the Eagles are used to. I would expect A.J. Brown to have a great game. Now, look, if the Chiefs put Trent McDuffie on him and make their whole game plan to stop him, then that's going to impact it. But the Eagles then have Devontae. They have Saquon Barkley. It doesn't seem like Dallas Goedert's going to play, so they will be without him. But A.J. Brown's an outstanding player, and they absolutely have to make sure he gets the ball in week two because they're a better team when he gets the ball.
I think most people agree on who the top four quarterbacks are in the National Football League. We might disagree on the order, but I think most people have the same consensus four. The conversation really starts at five. Do you think Jalen Hurts is the fifth best quarterback in the league, or who would you put in that spot if not him?
I think he's the second-best quarterback in the league, and if he wins the Super Bowl this year, I think he passes Mahomes in the current ranking. I don't see how a quarterback that's won back-to-back Super Bowls, wins 80% of his games, and wins big games all the time, wouldn't be the best quarterback in the NFL if he were able to win the Super Bowl. So we'll see if they can do it, but as for right now, I think he should be number two. He has a ring that those other players do not, and people will say, well, they do more for their team. Maybe, but Jalen does a lot of really important things for the Eagles, as Chiefs fans have found out over the past two seasons. He takes care of the ball. He makes huge plays on third and fourth down. He's maybe the best quarterback in the NFL in the red zone. So is he as talented as Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? Maybe not. They are outstanding quarterbacks, but the results speak for themselves. And I would also say, like, when it comes to Mahomes is an unbelievable talent. But I would say the talent discrepancy between him, Josh Allen, and Lamar, you know, like, is not huge. The reason Mahomes is penned in at number one is because he has Super Bowls. So if that's going to be the logic for making Mahomes number one, I don't see how Jalen would be anything other than number two.
The thing I appreciate about Jalen Hurts, and I think that last Thursday was an example, sure, the numbers weren't gaudy. It wasn't one of those 300-yard passing days. He ran for 100 yards. But where I give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit is when a play needs to be made from the Eagles, and more specifically from him, it usually happens in that game on third down, using his legs, scoring a touchdown. To me, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit. And to me, we give a little bit too much credit to the roster to take away from his successes. If we're going to say that greatness at quarterback is defined by making plays in the clutch, there haven't been too many better quarterbacks in the NFL when their back is up against the wall to make a play.
Yeah, and I mean, I would also say that just, and I'm sure you would agree with this from our time covering the league and watching the NFL, your team is almost always just as good as your quarterback is. Like, it just is what it is, right? Like, the Eagles have, in terms of you view it as a car, like, they have elite parts, like a shiny outside, great tires, an awesome sound system. But if your engine is not great, and Jalen is the engine like any quarterback is, it really doesn't matter. So right now, the reason the Eagles win is Jalen Hurts. Does he have help? Absolutely he has help. But you don't win in the NFL if you don't get high-level quarterback play, and they're absolutely getting elite high-level quarterback play from Jalen.
Where do you feel the Eagles are most vulnerable? Because the offense is largely the same from last year. You mentioned a couple of injuries, but the core of that team is the one that we've seen for the last 12 months or so. They've had a little bit of turnover on defense. They've lost some key pieces. Where do you think the Eagles are most vulnerable this season?
I think without question, the place where the Eagles can get hurt is the second cornerback spot. Quinyon Mitchell, I know he's only in his second year, but he's proven to be one of the better corners in the NFL. Cooper DeJean is really good. But at the number two cornerback spot, they lost Darius Slay, who was a good player for them last year. Their plan is to start Adoree Jackson this upcoming Sunday. He didn't have a great game against Dallas. So that would be the spot. Now, the issue is the Chiefs don't really have any good receivers, especially with Xavier Worthy out, and or seemingly out. Maybe you would know more about that than me. And then also Rashee Rice being suspended. So the Eagles' weakness is definitely that cornerback spot. I just don't know if the Chiefs have the players to exploit it.
We always ask people this. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Eagles win-if scenario on Sunday.
I think the Chiefs win if they're still the Chiefs. Like, if they're still a great team, if they're still a team people need to worry about, if they're still a Super Bowl contender, then they win on Sunday. You don't drop to 0-2 and lose your home opener if you're a true Super Bowl contender. So the Chiefs win if they show up and they are the Chiefs. That, you know, I think that's how they win the game. The Eagles win if the Chiefs play like they have the last year and a half. If the Chiefs play, you know, kind of sloppy football, they're not able to put a ton of points up on offense. The Eagles are just a way, way better roster. We saw that in the Super Bowl. So the Chiefs absolutely have to bring their A game. And if the Eagles bring their C game, the Chiefs could win. I just think the spot is so advantageous for Kansas City that I think there's a good chance they will win the game.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. Who do you see as the biggest contender to the Eagles in the NFC? The AFC is pretty straightforward. You got Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo all fighting for the top. That's not how we view the NFC. Who do you see as the biggest threat, the biggest challenger to Philadelphia?
I think it's definitely the Packers, especially after the acquisition of Micah Parsons. I think the Packers were already a Super Bowl contender. They have a really solid roster. They don't have a ton of weaknesses. They have a lot of good receivers slash very good receivers. Jordan Love has shown he can win in the playoffs, and they're battle tested. So you add Micah Parsons to that, and I think the Packers are the clear-cut challenger to the Eagles in the NFC.
That is Elias Shore Parks joining us on the show. He covers the Philadelphia Eagles for WIP out in Philadelphia. A Super Bowl rematch in week two between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Elliot, great stuff, man. Always appreciate catching up with you.
Yep, always glad to do it.
That is Elias Shore Parks joining us on the show. Now, a lot of you have a problem with him calling Jalen Hurts the second best quarterback in the league. I don't think Jalen Hurts is the second best quarterback in the league. But, and I think this is a really important but, I think that Jalen Hurts does almost all of the things that you guys want quarterbacks to do and accomplish, but don't want to give him the credit for those accomplishments. Jalen Hurts, as a starting quarterback in the league, his team is 47-20 in big-time spots where he has been asked to make plays. He has made those plays. We've seen quarterbacks before that were on good teams and you felt like they got carried. We've seen him play in two Super Bowls. He has played well in both of those Super Bowls. I think he has proven to be very clutch on third downs in critical situations. I'm not saying I agree with Elias Shore Parks. He's allowed to feel how he feels about it, but I don't think it's fair for you guys to get on Josh Allen or get on Lamar for not being able to beat Patrick Mahomes and not being able to win Super Bowls. And then there is a quarterback that has done that and has also beaten Patrick Mahomes and not give him the credit for doing that. So two is a little bit too high to me. I don't think five is too high for Jalen Hurts. I don't think five is that high for him. Where are you at, Rob?
I think he is perfectly slotted in at five. I'll be the first to admit, I used to be a Jalen Hurts, I don't want to say a hater, but a person who was the first to say, well, it's scheme-based and this, that, and the other. But time after time, he has just shown that he is a really good quarterback in the NFL. He is the fifth best. He checks every box. If you're a quarterback wins guy, I know that we got into a big fight last week with Danny Parkins talking about Herbert versus Mahomes, and he said quarterback wins were not a thing. A lot of people think quarterback wins are a thing. Hurts checks those boxes. What about clutchness with quarterback? I mean, he's been to two Super Bowls, and he made great plays in both. He was dominant in the second one. Checks that box. He always feels like he puts his team in a position to win. That's an important box to check. Like, as much as I feel like it's a tush-push or talent creation, at a certain point, you just have to look past all that and notice, yes, he is the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. I wouldn't take him over Josh Allen. I wouldn't take him over Joe Burrow. I probably wouldn't take him over Lamar and definitely not over Mahomes. But if you're telling me, hey, you have to make a decision, you either get Matt Stafford or Jalen Hurts, I think you're crazy to take Matt Stafford.
But where I'll defend Elliott is, I just think we move the goalpost when it comes to Hurts and we don't really move it to anybody else. Like, for example, in text line, we can be real. You guys say this thing. You guys say that Joe Burrow is living off accomplishments from 2 years ago. Hasn't made the playoffs since then. What, these numbers don't mean anything. You're putting up numbers on bad teams and in garbage points. Do something more recent. So that's a criticism for Burrow, right? The criticism for Allen and Jackson. Well, you've never won against Patrick Mahomes in a game that matters. Call me whenever you guys win a Super Bowl, right? That's the feeling for them. So now when it comes to Jalen Hurts, when you've done all of the things that they tell you these other AFC quarterbacks haven't, now we have created a new one. Oh, well, your roster's too good. Oh, well, now you run this play, the tush push. Like, at some point, you just kind of got to tip your cap to the other quarterbacks for what they've accomplished in the league. Yes, Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. I'm not arguing that point. But I just feel like anytime there's like a challenger or somebody who's in the realm and in the conversation, we just move the goalposts or just find ways to pop their balloon when I just don't think that's necessary.
And I'll be the first man. I was first team All-American doing this with Jalen Hurts. Hey, well, it's just the roster. It's just this, that. Man, if you look at the totality of his NFL career, he checks almost every box. I do not think he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I do not think he's better than Burrow, Lamar, or Josh Allen. I would still take all those guys over Jalen Hurts. But he is undeniably a top five quarterback. And if you're a quarterback's win person, which I'm not saying I am, but some people are, and you had him at two because he has more on-field Super Bowl championship success than Allen, Lamar, and Burrow, I don't know I can argue that much with you. So, yes, I want to be a hater, but at a certain point, the numbers are the numbers, and he is a top five quarterback in the NFL.
All right, I want to tell you guys that we have brought back the Circle of Trust. You guys know the Circle of Trust. Who are we going to put in it? Who are we going to take out of our beloved first edition of the season, Circle of Trust?
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the Burns Family Circle of Trust. See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
I want to read to you guys some stats. And I want to know, is it possibly too early to give this guy our very famous
barbecue chicken alert, barbecue chicken alert, barbecue chicken alert, barbecue chicken alert.
You know one place that I'm guessing probably serves some great barbecue chicken? It's our friends over at Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. They're now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mouthwatering appetizers, juicy burgers, steaks, pastas, and more. Wash it down with your favorite ice cold beverage. Catch the game. And also by Aspen Lawn Care and Pest Control, expect the best. I want to read you guys a stat. Nick Bolton and Shamari Connor in coverage on Friday, they were thrown at 11 times. Nick Bolton, hashtag MIZ, hashtag Tiger Blood, so I'm only willing to go so far. I know Rob can't wait. I mean, he got his Gregory Hines tap dancing shoes ready to go on this segment. Nick Bolton, who they just gave a pretty big amount of money to not that long ago. He and Shamari Connor, they were targeted 11 times on Friday. Justin Herbert completed all 11 of those passes. He threw for 143 yards, a touchdown, and had a 138 passer rating against Nick Bolton and Shamari Connor. I mean, if that don't sound like
barbecue chicken alert, barbecue chicken alert.
I don't know what does. Is it too early? I'm not giving it to Nick Bolton. I don't care what you say. I refuse to put Nick Bolton on barbecue chicken alert. He might be barbecue chicken alert, and we've known what his strengths are and what his weaknesses are for quite some time. I mean, I've known since he was a freshman at Mizzou, but I don't have it in my heart. I don't have it in my soul, especially after we just beat Kansas. I don't have it in my heart to give him the barbecue chicken alert. But I ain't got no closeness to Shamari Connor. I got no problem giving him
barbecue chicken alert. Barbecue chicken alert.
Are we giving him the award? Or Rob, you saying it's just one game? Maybe we put this on timeout and we put this on ice and we can come back to this in 2-3 weeks and then we can determine if we're putting Shamari Connor officially on alert.
So a couple things. One, I'm going to practice team patience back here. on both players. You're right. We are a couple more weeks of linebacker coverage conversation for me to get excited to talk about how Nick Bolton's wildly overpaid and they shouldn't have brought him back and all this. We're not there yet. That conversation, if he keeps getting cooked in coverage, is coming. We're not there yet. I am going to be team patience on both players. The Chargers are a division opponent. They brought back their coordinator. They brought back their head coach. They had a good game plan for how to attack both players. And Steve Spagnuolo, when talking to the media today, said everyone on defense wished they had played better. And he even said he wished he could have about 4 or 5 play calls back. So I'm going to put both of them inside the circle of trust for now. They are pushing toward the edge. They are coming up on the fringe of the circle of trust, but they are staying inside it for now. Because I think while both were absolutely flambéed on Friday night, I think part of the reason they both got exposed is because the pass rush was so terrible. I imagine that Steve Spagnuolo in the office is not sitting there being like, you know what I want? I want Shamari Connor and Nick Bolton in coverage for 7 to 10 seconds every play. That's the dream. I'd love them out there just being sticky for 10 seconds. No one thinks that's a good plan. So unless Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Charles Omenihu, Mike Dana, that lot starts getting some pass rush, I think we have bigger problems. So I'm going to keep them both inside the circle, but I reserve the right to push them out relatively quickly.
Okay. So you're saying we're holding off right now. You're saying right
team
now
patience.
These two guys are
team
still
patience.
In the circle of trust, and we're not officially giving them
barbecue chicken alert. Barbecue chicken alert.
I don't want to do that this early on in the season. I don't want a week one, and now I got you on the barbecue chicken alert registry. I don't want to do that. So you know what? This will be our official stance. We're going to practice patience. But you got A.J. Brown coming up, and you got Devontae Smith coming up. And if I'm sitting there watching film and I see Shamari Connor out there, you know what I might do if I'm A.J. Brown? I might start tapping the top of my helmet and telling you need to give me the football here. You see what I got over here? I got lunch meat over here.
To be fair, Dallas Goedert got so giddy with excitement about seeing Nick Bolton against tight ends, he hurt himself.
You said you were practicing patience.
Patience,
that's what,
team
that's
patience,
what you told
bad.
Me
my
just
bad.
A second ago
team
that
patience,
you were practicing patience, and now you're out here getting jokes off. I can't condone this. I want to let you guys know that the Circle of Trust and obviously the Barbecue Chicken Alert is now brought to you by our friends over at Brew Brothers in Harris, Kansas City. It's now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you're looking for some mouthwatering appetizers, some juicy burgers, some steaks, some pastas, you want to wash it down with an ice-cold beverage and also catch the game, be sure to stop by and see our friends over at Brew Brothers. Also, get your lawn taken care of at Aspen Lawn Care and Pest Control. You can expect the best. Coming up on the other side, we are officially starting week 2 of the NFL season. You know what? We'll go around the NFL. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, this is Patrick Mahomes. Catch me every Tuesday with CDOT at 3:15 right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive is brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to give you guys a very important message. Obviously, I know what's going on in the country. I know that's not why you guys come to this show. I don't have any thoughts or opinions on it. I just want to offer up one small piece of suggestions. They're firing people out here for social media posts. I would just be careful. I was just reading a story during the commercial break about someone who was employed by the Carolina Panthers. He sent some tweets about recent events that have happened in our country, and they terminated my man's key card. So I'm just telling you, hey, I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. You're an adult. Do what you want to do. I would just say, is that Facebook post worth it? You got a mortgage. You got a family. You got a job. I'm not ready to lose my job over these posts. I'm not ready to lose my job over these tweets. So I just want you to protect yourself. That's it. That's the only advice that I have. That's the only commentary, only thoughts that I have. They firing people. Somebody from the Suns got fired. Somebody from the Panthers got fired. They watch it. So I wouldn't be out here talking crazy on the social media about anybody or anything. Hop on Facebook, post pictures of your vacation, post pictures of your dinner, post pictures of Love Island, and go live your life. That's the only little bit of advice that I have for today. I don't have any other advice. Joshua Briscoe is going to join us coming up in just a bit. We're going to talk about the Chiefs. We're going to get you ready for Thursday night football. I just wanted to offer up just a little, just a small piece of advice. Who is that? Herm Edwards that said, don't press send. That's the advice that I'm going to give you today. Don't press send. Let's get you ready for week two of the NFL season. Rob, hit the music.
Carrington, let's start our look at week two in the NFL with a division game, a surprise 1-0 versus 1-0 game. The Denver Broncos are headed to Indianapolis to take on Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes and co. 1-0 after throttling the Dolphins. The Broncos, not as surprising at 1-0 as they played host to the Tennessee Titans in week one. But you think maybe, just maybe, Bo Nix and co. need to be on upset alert for Sunday against the Colts.
You know what? It's been a while since I've said this. Cut the beat. You know what? I guarantee a Colts win this weekend. Can you not see the ESPN get up stories that the Colts are the surprise 2-0 team that we all talk bad about Daniel Jones, and he's playing a lot better than expected? You can see it. Shane Steichen has proved that he's a good coach. I think Daniel Jones is capable. He's not one of the better quarterbacks in the league. No one would confuse him for that. But can you win 8-9 games with Daniel Jones and knock on the door of potentially making the playoffs? Now, they might have played one of the 5 worst teams in the league, but I was impressed by the Colts offense. I thought the Broncos came out very lackadaisical in their season opening game against the Titans. I'm telling you right now, it's not a big upset. It's a small, teeny tiny upset. But give me the Colts going to 2-0 with the win over the Denver Broncos. I don't need the points. I'm taking them on the money line this week, baby. Turn the music back up.
I'm just sitting here, honest to God, astonished. 12 months ago, no one made more Danny Dimes jokes than you. And now, guarantee they're winning at home to the Broncos because they beat the hapless Dolphins in week one. People like you are how Vegas makes money. They know that you're going to overreact to week one. Danny Dimes. Okay.
See, this is your problem.
The same Shane Steichen that couldn't coach Anthony Richardson's now. We know he can coach.
You're too worried about the past. I'm thinking ahead. I'm moving forward. You're worried about preseason expectations and predictions. Not me. I'm watching the league. I'm breaking it down. You should be more like me. I gave out a 4-leg parlay on the show last week. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. Follow me. If you're trying to win some coin, follow me. That's what the CNC dot stands for. Coin dot. Let's move on.
Speaking of a game featuring two 1-0 teams, the Cincinnati Bengals, who got almost 10 yards of offense in the second half, but beat the Cleveland Browns despite that, are returning home to face maybe the second biggest surprise in the NFL from week one, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Carrington, looking at this 1-0 versus 1-0 matchup, do you think the Bengals will keep pushing ahead, or are the Jags, with your favorite quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, going to surprise in Ohio on Sunday?
Hey, man, we got beef. You've been real out of pocket in this segment for really no reason. I thought me and you was good. I thought me and you was on the same page here. Why are you talking to me like this? There's no reason for you to be talking to me like this. I know one thing. If Cincinnati is trying to convince us that they're back this year, that they're ready to compete with the top-tier teams in the National Football League after needing a game-saving turnover to beat the Browns on the road, you now come back to the crib for your home opener against Jacksonville, you better take care of business. I know that much. It don't matter how you win. It doesn't matter. You better figure out a way. The schedule gods have given you an ability to start quickly. because that has been the problem for the Bengals the last couple of years. They have not been able to start quickly. They've dug themselves into 0-2, 1-3, and now they got to spend all of October and November trying to dig themselves out of it. When you get Cleveland and Jacksonville, boom, boom, to kick off the season, you got to take care of business. Give me Cincinnati at home. I'm a little scared to take the points. I didn't take the points last week with them. I just put them in my parlay on the money line. I'm going to do the exact same thing this week. I'm not dealing with the 3.5. Just give me the Bengals straight up at the crib.
Let's switch over to some 0-1 teams. Now, I'm not going to waste time talking about a couple of these 0-1 games. The Cowboys and Giants, who cares? And the Ravens are going to bounce back against the Browns, who cares? But there are two more games featuring two 0-1 teams, and they include a couple flavors of the offseason. The Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams are headed on the road to take on the Detroit Tigers, and the New England Patriots, who was a playoff pick by both you and me, they're 0-1. They head on the road to take on the Dolphins. Carrington, Caleb Williams and Drake May are year two quarterbacks. Which team needs a bounce back more in week two? Or if they don't, are they looking dead in the water despite it being week three?
I mean, I think both teams are kind of in the exact same spot, but we all know how Chicago kind of operates as a city, especially when it comes to Caleb Williams, who for whatever reason is just one of the bigger lightning rods in the league. If you lose your first two games in the division, you're cooked. We already know about the stats when you fall to 0-2. You then fall to 0-2 with losses in the division. You lost to Minnesota when you felt like you had cashed that one in, and then you lose on the road against a Lions team that kind of got embarrassed in their week one game. So you know they're going to come out with great energy, and their home opener doesn't feel like a really good spot for the Chicago Bears, who already feel like they're kind of scratching and clawing to try to save their season, even though the season has just begun.
Final question. Here's we're up against the break. Brock Purdy is out this week, as he could be out for a couple weeks for the San Francisco 49ers. They started 1-0, which means the person a lot of people thought the Niners would take in that draft, Mac Jones, is going to start for Kyle Shanahan and co. Carrington, do you think you'll see a drop-off from Brock Bowers to Mac Jones out in the Bay?
You know what? I think you'll see a little drop-off, but not a big one. This is why. I think their skill sets are very similar. I trust Kyle Shanahan. Christian McCaffrey is going to be available in this one. I thought their defense played well enough last week. I still like San Francisco. Now, I understand why the spread took a big drop off. It was a 7.5 before this injury announcement. It then fell to 3, 3.5, depending on where you get your number. I completely understand, but I still like San Francisco to go on the road and win this game. So give me the Niners. I'm even going to take the points on this one. I'll take them, San Francisco, -3.5. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe, who does the pre and the post game for the Chiefs Radio Network. We'll get his thoughts on week one for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also look ahead to week two against the Philadelphia Eagles. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.